morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. The scripture says if you're born of God, you are a born overcomer. And that this is the victory that overcomes the whole world, even our faith. Faith is a different thing than many have thought. Sometimes people ask, what faith are you? And they want to know what association or affiliation. But when God's talking about faith again and again, He's talking about the way you interact with Him and the way you think and live and function. The just shall live by faith. Come on, say it out loud. I live by faith.
I live by faith.
I walk by faith.
I walk by faith.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By faith.
By faith.
By what?
By faith.
By faith. That's not just a slogan. That's something you do. That's faith is a choice. Every day, we're supposed to live by faith. And what that means is every day when you're presented with a choice, and you will have multiple opportunities every day to doubt, to fear, to be discouraged, to be depressed, to give up, to quit, to be hopeless. But a person of faith refuses to do that. A person of faith says, no. No, I'm not laying down. No, I'm not quitting. No, I'm not accepting that I cannot be free from this problem. I'm not accepting that I can't have my bills paid, that I can't be healed. I refuse to accept it.
Yes.
No, you have faith in God, and your faith must not just be based on the theoretical. It needs to be based specifically on something God said to us in His Word about that area. And so we have spent now weeks and weeks on feeding our faith for provision. Because every day of your life, you need some money, you need some food, you need some clothes, you need stuff. Is it God's will for you to have it?
Yes.
Plenty of it?
Yes.
All the time?
Yes.
All of us?
Yes.
Well, what would that be based on? If it's just wishful thinking, that's not going to work. But we've been giving one after another reason after reason after reason after reason from the Scriptures why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all.
Yes.
Say it out loud. Abundant provision,
abundant provision
is always
God's will.
For us all.
For us all.
Abundant provision
is always
God's will,
for me.
You know, the New Testament says He even gives us richly all things to enjoy. He will give you, if you'll believe Him and follow Him, far beyond basic necessities. He'll give you things just to enjoy. Just to enjoy. Is He really that good of a God? Is He? Is He real? He's a Father. He loves you, His child. He likes to see you enjoy good things. Somebody say, I believe it. So we're down to reason number 18 in our study of 30 reasons. So we're a little over halfway now. And we're talking about we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Look again, Galatians 3:13. It says, Christ hath. This is something that's already been accomplished. Past tense accomplishment, present tense result. Of what? He has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. We went back to Isaiah a few classes back, and we saw how Isaiah saw in the Spirit that the punishment for our sins came on him and was laid on him, which is why it says, you know, by his stripes or by his beating, we are healed. Well, here it says he was made a curse for us. That happened when he was made sin with our sin. Then the just punishment for the sin is the curse. And all of us deserved it because of having sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we couldn't save ourselves by keeping all the law and earning righteousness through works or deeds. And we were in a mess. Mm-hmm. We were lost and undone. But Jesus, he came and allowed himself to be made sin with all of our sin and then take the resulting judgment and curse and punishment for all of it. And what did that do for us? It delivered us from the curse. It redeemed us from the curse and qualified and gave us the blessing of Abraham. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Coming on the Gentiles through our faith in Jesus Christ. Go back with me, if you would, to Numbers, the 22nd chapter. Now, a number of classes back, we got into some detail about how we saw in Proverbs 26 and other places that the curse causeless shall not come. So there's, and the scripture described a bird flitting around, a swallow flying around without a place to land.
Yes.
And that's what he says, like that, the curse causeless shall not alight, some translations say. It won't land. The curse has to have a place to land. Mm-hmm. What is that place? Guiltiness. Sinfulness, disobedience, guiltiness. And so it says without that, it doesn't land. And Psalm 125, I'm just reviewing a little bit. Psalm 125 says the rod or the punishment of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands to iniquity. I mean, if you get punished for doing good, you lose your motivation. Right? You're like, hold on now. I did what you told me to do. And I didn't yield to the wrong thing. I did what you said and I get cursed. Mm-mm. That's what he's saying. And the very next verse says, do good, O Lord, unto those that be good and to them that are upright in heart. But those that turn aside to their crooked ways, he'll lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. God is a good God. He's a just God. And when you do good and listen to him, he doesn't curse you.
That's right.
You're blessed.
Yes.
But all of us, because of our failures and our sin, we deserved the curse and we disqualified from the blessing. Oh, but Jesus, that's why we keep talking about this. He redeemed us from the curse, being made a curse for us. Now, that was prophesied in numerous scriptures in the Law and Prophets. It was foreshadowed. It was portrayed. And one of the places it was portrayed is in Numbers, the 22nd chapter. I want to look at this a little bit more. Numbers chapter 22 is the story of how God's people had been delivered out of Egyptian slavery, and how God is bringing them, should have been a relatively short time and trip, through the desert to the promised land. But they were on the border of Moab, and the Moabites, the king of Moab, Balak, they saw all these, I mean, it must have been, 2 or 3 million people, and all the livestock and stuff. Of course, the dust of it would have been a cloud. And they are really concerned because they've also heard about how God brought Egypt to its knees, delivering them out. And I'm sure they've heard, word had got around, that God said he's given them all the land around there. And so Balak, the king, summoned Balaam, a prophet, to come curse Israel for him. And verse 6, Numbers 22:6, he said, "Come now, therefore, I pray you, curse me this people." Now, people today, you know, think they've gone to college or whatever and got a degree or two or read a book or two, and they think, oh, this cursing stuff and this blessing stuff, that's just superstition. And that. No, that just shows your ignorance. Cursing is real, and blessing is real. Whether you think so or not,
yes, sir.
It is. And that's one thing about some peoples, especially back centuries ago and in parts of the world today, they believe in the supernatural because they experience it. And they know it. They've experienced it good and bad sometimes, a lot of times bad. But Balak is a king, and yet he is summoning a prophet. His strategy to defeat this huge enemy is we got to curse him. That's his strategy. Now, you can think he's superstitious if you want to, but if it was just foolish superstition, it wouldn't be in the Bible. God knows that. But he says, "Come curse me this people, for they're too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, and we can smite them, and I'll drive them out of the land, for I wot." Now, "wot" is an old English word. It means know. "I know that he whom you blessed is blessed, and he whom you cursed is cursed." What do you mean? Everybody in Moab knows. If Balaam puts the word on you, you're in trouble. Everybody knows this. Blessed or cursed. Words matter. Spiritual things are real. Fear makes you subject to things. Faith makes you immune. And faith blesses you. Verse 11. He said, "There's a people that's come out of Egypt. They cover the face of the earth." It was millions of them. "Come now and curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out." And he offered Balaam basically a blank check. He said, "You name your price. How much gold you want?" He's a king. He's got the treasury of the kingdom at his personal disposal. He said, "Name your price," basically. Any price. And so when Balaam asked God about it, verse 12, God said, "You shall not go with them, and you shall not curse the people, for they are blessed." And this is reiterated in the next couple of chapters. But how many know God's word triumphs over anybody else's word and anything and everything anybody else wants to do? Why should we be talking about this and me be waving my arms about it? Didn't the scripture say in the New Testament, we've been redeemed from the curse and we got the blessing? Has God blessed us? I want to know, has God blessed? Does that mean anything? Is that powerful in our lives? And if you skip down to the 23rd chapter without reading all of this, Balaam went through the motions, built the altars, offered the sacrifices, and the Lord didn't change. Surprise, surprise. The Lord didn't change. He said, no, I've blessed them. You can't curse them. And so then Balak is watching all this. And then when Balaam didn't curse them, he's like, "Come on, man, curse them. I brought you up here to curse them. Pay you anything." And then Balaam the prophet said in 23:8, "How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? How shall I defy whom the Lord has not defied?" He said, "You don't understand. Somebody way bigger than me has put the blessing on them, and I can't do anything about it." Verse 9, from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Verse 10, who can count the dust of Jacob and number the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his. And Balak just shouts out, what have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies and you have blessed them all together. What are you doing? No, no, not blessing. Curse, curse, curse. That's something you and I can lay hold of right here. Balaam is seeing in the spirit. He made some terrible mistakes, but obviously he did hear from God at times and say what God said. You see that here. But he, as he's seeing them and trying to hear something from God, then he says, oh, look at them. They are covering the earth. Look at them. You can't count a fourth of these folks. He said, let me die their death. Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end. And that's what you want to do. Die the death of the righteous. The Bible said it's appointed unto men, not just a time to die, but once. One time to die. There's a right way to go and there's a wrong way to go. There's a right time to go, a right season to go. And you can go early and wrong. You don't have to die from a terrible disease, delirious or out of your head from drugs or all that kind of thing. You can die having finished your life, completely run your course. Hallelujah. Run your race, completed your course. I mean, one elder, it's told in the scriptures about how he called all his family into the room and he prophesied over all of them and then he just pulled his feet up in the bed and left. That's the way to go. No pain, no disease, no, you know, jaws of death, the gate of death, not the jaws. Not the bite. Jesus tasted death for all of us so we can die without ever even tasting it. We can leave, and the thing is, you'll be out of your body for a few minutes before you even realize what happened. You're like, whoa, what's going on here? Oh, there's my body. Huh, okay. We're done with that. Said out loud, let me die.
Let me die.
The death of the righteous. And
let my last
end.
Be like his.
When Balak was saying, what have you done? You didn't curse him, you blessed him. Verse 19, Balaam the prophet said, God is not a man that he should lie. You ever heard this before?
Yes.
Neither the son of man that he should repent. What this phrase that people refer to and quote, God's not a man that he should lie. What was the context of this? That God has blessed.
Yes.
Huh? And you can't change him. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it? Shall he not do it? Has he spoken? Shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless.
Yes.
And he has blessed.
Yes.
And I cannot reverse it.
Yes.
And he was expert at cursing. Kings sought him out and would pay him any price. But he said, hey, I can't do a thing. I can't do a thing. The Almighty has blessed. And so it's done. It's done. Verse 23. When he tried to do it again because of Balak pressuring him, he said, well, come over here. Come over to the other side. Maybe if you look at them from another angle, they don't look so big. And he keeps trying to, he offering him more money and all this. He said, shh. And so when Balaam went there, and he knows by this time, there ain't no need to try to talk to God about cursing them. This ain't going to work. And then this is what he prophesies. He says, surely there is no enchantment against Jacob. There is not any divination against Israel. According to this time, it'll be said of God, of Jacob and Israel, what has God wrought? Still blessing. He said, yeah, you just wait. In time to come, history books are going to say, look what God has done for Israel. Cursed? Mm-mm. Blessed in everything they do. And in Numbers 24:9, the end of that phrase, he said, blessed is he that blesses you, and cursed is he that curses you. What? You try to curse whom God has blessed? You are a fool, because that curse is coming right back on your head. If you could curse whom God had blessed, then your word was more powerful than his. You overrode what he did. Has never happened, never will happen. In Deuteronomy 23:4-5, there's a phrase here. He talks about the Moabites. He said, Deuteronomy 23:4, they didn't meet you with bread and water. They hired against you Balaam, the son of Beor, a Pethor of Mesopotamia, to curse you. Nevertheless, the Lord your God would not hearken to Balaam, but the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing on you because the Lord has loved you. He went up there to curse, and God got a hold of him and said, bless. And so he just started blessing. And Balak said, no. And Nehemiah 13:2 says it again. Because they didn't meet the children of Israel, they hired Balaam against them that he should curse them. Howbeit, our God turned the curse into a blessing. The Lord turned my curse into a blessing. And he did it just because he loves me. Jesus hung on the tree. He became a curse for me. And the Lord turned my curse into a blessing. I want to run around the room. Huh? Come on, say it out loud.
The Lord
took my place.
I was cursed.
But he took my place.
My future
was judgment
and punishment.
But he turned
my curse
into a blessing.
He did it
because he loves me.
Hallelujah.
Lift your hands. Lift your hands and give thanks and give praise and give glory. Oh, Father, we thank you. Thank you for redeeming us from all the curse of the law. Thank you for delivering us from all the punishment of sin, every evil thing, every curse, every dark thing, every blight, every disease, every lack, every enemy. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And what if somebody would try to curse you today? Huh? Can anybody override the Almighty's blessing on us? Man, this should just make you sassy. I mean, this should just make you confident. Is that right? I hear sometimes Christians talking about, but I think people in our building are in witchcraft, and I think maybe they're voodoo, and they're trying to put the hoodoo on me. If you fear it, you're in trouble. If you don't know who you are and what you are, but, you know, my father in the faith, Kenneth Hagin Sr., who's in heaven now, years ago he was preaching something, and he said something that a particular woman didn't like, and somebody said, "Don't you know? She'll put a curse on you." And then they were scared. He said, "Ha!"
Yeah.
He said, "I double dog dare her to curse me." The guy said, "Ooh, no, why?" He knew God has blessed, and nobody can reverse it. Nobody can change it. There is no enchantment. There is no divination. There is no anything against those God has blessed. Child of God, do you believe that you're redeemed from the curse? Do you believe that God has pronounced blessing on you as the child of Abraham by your faith in Jesus Christ? And that blessing is so powerful, nobody, no one, anywhere with anything can change it, can stop it, can take it off, can even interfere with it. You're really the only one who can interfere with it, and you're smarter than that. You're not going to do that. So say it again. Nobody can curse me.
Nobody can curse me.
Nobody.
No
one.
No one.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Can change the blessing of God and reverse it and curse me. Cannot.
Will not.
Because God has blessed. And I am blessed.
Blessed.
To be a blessing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And our time's up again. Say it like we do sometimes. I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School. I've sure enjoyed being with you again this week, shouting about being blessed and not being cursed. I like to always speak at the end of the week over our partners. Many of you are partners, and it takes a lot of resources to do all the things in the ministry, and God is so gracious to continue to supply it through our partners. There's information on the screen if you want to find out more about it. But Paul said to his partners at Philippi, "You all are partakers of my grace." We're talking about this blessing is on us. And it's obvious, man. The blessing of the Lord is on us in these churches and ministry. And as a partner, you share in this. You share in the grace. You share in the blessing. You share in the fruits and reward of it. Father, I speak over our partners, everyone that has joined us in faith and prayer and finance and any other way. I have a right to say blessing and increase be on them and their families and their businesses and their ministries and their churches. Be increased, be empowered, become greater and stronger. The blessing of the Lord is on you. I speak over it to increase in Jesus' name. I'm believing it. I've seen it in our life. I'm expecting it in yours. We'll see you again soon here in Faith School.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.